So when I was a young priest early in my career, I was about 35 years old, I was working at the cathedral in Boise. And Andrea and I had Bishop John Thornton and his wife over for dinner one evening. And during the dinner, Bishop Thornton looked at us and he said, "Brian and Andrea, the church in Sun Valley is coming open, and I was wondering if you would be interested in applying for the position of rector." Now, Sun Valley is this very fancy, beautiful destination ski resort community in the middle of the state. And Andrea and I did not need to consult one another. We both knew our answer, and we said it in unison. We said, "No." You see, for people in Boise, we had a particular opinion of those people that lived in Sun Valley, those profoundly wealthy people lying on their ivory couches in the lap of luxury, and we didn't know what it would be like to raise our children around all of that wealth and, of course, their recreational drug use. And as a priest, I didn't know what my priesthood would be like. I'm just like the chaplain to be called out to bless their yachts or whatever, you know, whatever one would do. So we said, "No, thank you very much, but we're happy here in Boise." And the bishop said, "Brian and Andrea, I know this community, and I know you, and I think it would be a good fit. So would you please, as a favor to me, enter the process and consider it and being good soldiers?" We said, "Yes, sir." And we entered the process and we got to know the community. We got to know the people. We fell in love. We realized that our prejudices were just prejudices and that the people there were just lovely and beautiful. And we realized that that's where we wanted to be. We needed to live there. There was just this little obstacle of getting the job. So I wholeheartedly entered into the job application process. And this was a time in the church where the search process included auditions. And they would bring all of the candidates out to preach on different Sundays, to preach and to preside at the service, to help the search committee and the congregation decide who they want. And this particular congregation brought out 7 people on 7 different Sundays to preach and audition for this job. And because we were on different Sundays governed by the lectionary, we didn't pick the readings. The readings were whatever readings were assigned. And for me, I got to preach in Sun Valley for my audition on the text where Jesus says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." Now, when I read the text, realizing that was like, that's my audition text, I was filled with dread, of course. And working at the cathedral with the bishop right there, I went into the bishop's office, I showed him this text, and I said, "Bishop, what have you done to me? There is no way that I can have this text and preach in front of this, and you put me up to this." And Bishop Thornton, who was a very wise man, and used to handling my outbursts, you know, just sat at his desk, and he said, "Brian, the people in Sun Valley know, more than anyone else on the face of the earth, that money does not buy happiness." And he was right. I ended up becoming the rector of St. Thomas Church in Sun Valley, and I became the priest in this community where most people there had succeeded in doing everything that their society said they needed to do to be happy. They had had amazing careers and earned millions of dollars, and they didn't just have one beautiful home, they had multiple beautiful homes. They had everything, and yet they were no happier than others, and they had still had this yearning and this loneliness and this brokenness in their heart. And some of them, it was even harder because they had everything, and yet they still had hadn't entered the kingdom of heaven. They hadn't living this life. They weren't living this life that was fulfilled. And some of them would come to church and come to me and say, what more must I do? I've done everything. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The people in Sun Valley knew better than anyone. And my experience taught me better than any other experience that money doesn't buy happiness. We know it's true. We don't believe it. Because it's not completely true. Because money does buy happiness. Money buys happiness, and studies have shown this to be true. Money buys happiness up to a point. Because we all need a certain amount of stuff to be okay. Right? I mean, we all need a roof over our heads. We need food. We need a certain level, like we need a smartphone. But we need a certain level of stuff in order to be okay. And until you get to that point, money is important and necessary, and it does buy happiness. We need that. We need a certain amount of stuff to be okay. But what is surprising, given the fact that our culture tells us that more stuff always means more happiness, what's surprising is that after a certain level, money doesn't buy happiness. Our happiness plateaus, and even if once we get more and more wealth, happiness starts to go down. And if you think about it, I think that happens for a couple of reasons, and there are a couple of reasons that are connected to our gospel reading. One is that all of us, every human, has this place in our hearts and in our souls, this place that isn't settled, that's not full, that's not sated. We all have like a hunger. There's this hunger, there's this loneliness, there's this yearning, there's something, there's this hole in our hearts. Now, we're taught by our culture that the way we fill that hole is by getting stuff. And it's necessary, right, for us to get enough stuff to have our basic needs met. But what we're taught is that once we get to that point, if we're still not happy, then we need more stuff. So we get more stuff, and what happens? Like, getting stuff is great. I love getting stuff. I love shopping. I love new things. Today's my birthday, by the way. But I love getting stuff. And if I'm alone, like I have this hole in my heart, and I go on Amazon and I order something, and that makes me feel better. And then I watch as it's moving toward my house, and that makes me feel better. And then I get the new thing, and that makes me feel better. And then 4 days later, it's the old thing. And it's not so interesting anymore. And then I yearn to go back on Amazon and get a new thing. And we have that hole, and we fill it with stuff, but that stuff never satisfies us. But we get more stuff, and then we need the storage unit to store the stuff, and we have to sort the stuff and buy the bins to put the stuff in. And you can see that, like, we're doing what the world says. Get more stuff, you'll be happy, and we're not happy. Because stuff doesn't make us happy. Once we have our basic needs met. The other reason that wealth doesn't make us happy, and this gets to the core of the gospel, is having wealth, which many of us do in this society, having wealth makes it possible for us to live isolated lives. Because if we have stuff, we don't need other people to make it through. And we can buy bigger castles and better fortresses. And we don't even have to go to the store anymore to buy the stuff, because we can just get it all online. And if you have enough resources, you don't have to talk to another human. And we live more and more isolated lives. And the reality is that is not where the kingdom of heaven is found. The kingdom of heaven is found by interdependence. We were created to be interdependent with one another. And what leads to interdependence is when we have that hole in our heart, instead of medicating it with stuff or isolating ourselves with our wealth. When we have that hole in our heart, we reach out to other people. And it's our connection with other people and our interdependence with one another. That's where the kingdom of heaven is found. And when you don't have wealth, you have to be dependent on other people. You have to be. But when you get wealth, you don't have to be. Which makes it harder and harder to be in the kingdom of heaven. Because we can be lazy and not be connected. And the gospel is driving us to greater levels of connection because that's where the kingdom of heaven is found. And there's this piece, this interesting piece about goodness. What do I have to do? What do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't do anything to get an inheritance. All you do to get an inheritance is you be. And it's not about being good. Like, it's not if you're good, you're going to get the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing you can do or no level of goodness. That's why Jesus said, no one's good but God alone. If you're going to use levels of goodness, I mean, levels of goodness doesn't matter. It's not important. There's nothing you can do to get the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is yours. But you have to practice it. You have to enter it. You have to be in it. You have to put skin in the kingdom of heaven game. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It is yours to have right now. Your life abundantly connected with other people is here. You just have to practice it. And this gospel reading today is in calling me to think about two different ways of practicing being in the kingdom of heaven. And one is generosity. Like, once you get to here, you've got the roof over your head, and you have the capacity, like, to have a little more money, you have a choice. The choice is either more stuff or be generous. And the invitation of this gospel reading is to be generous. Be generous. Invest in people in your life. Invest in your community. Invest in the health of your community. And Jesus is right when he said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. If you put your money in stuff, your heart's going to be in the stuff. If you put your money in the stock market, your heart's going to be in the stock market. If you put your money in your community, your heart's going to be in the community, and that's where the kingdom of heaven is found. So one practice to be in the kingdom of heaven is generosity. The other is interdependence. The other is putting yourself into community, supporting one another when people are down, and allowing others to support you when you are down. And that is one of the primary roles. It's like the superpower of the church. And it's the gift that the church has to offer our world right now that is becoming more and more siloed and people are becoming more and more isolated. We're a place that's training people how to be in community. And I saw it last night or yesterday at Ruth's service when this church was packed with people showing up to have Ralph's back and to sing in full voice and listen to remarkable music and celebrate this life, but to be a community that shows up for one another. And I invite you, even if you don't know the person who died or the person who's left, to show up and be a part of that kind of community where we have skin in the game and supporting one another and being interdependent, and we show people who are living isolated lives what it looks like to be a community that genuinely cares for one another. You can see as you focus on the quality of community, the way that that creates the kingdom of God in a way that having more money doesn't, or having more stuff doesn't. But it is such a countercultural message. Now, I ended up being blessed by becoming the rector of St. Thomas Church in Sun Valley, Idaho. Andrea and I lived there for 8 years, and for 8 years we saw this community of faith grow in generosity and their investment in the community and their investment in the lives of one another and to grow in interdependence with one another. So I can attest that it's not impossible for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of heaven. With God, all things are possible. And with us, all things are possible. And the invitation in this lesson is to pay attention. To pay attention to where you spend your money and to pay attention to where you spend your time. Whether you're using those things in ways that move you more into the kingdom of God, where you're practicing a way of being, a way of living that moves you more into the kingdom of God, or if you're spending your resources in ways that isolate you and close you off. Because, I mean, it really is that simple, right? We can choose to show up and be part of each other. We can choose to be generous. And as we do that, the kingdom of heaven is ours.